following is a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. It is being offered as non-copyrighted material, so feel free to share it with others. For more information about New Life, please visit our website at newlifeeckley.com.
Yeah, you guys could clap for it. Before he gets up here and begins to beat upon me, which you all know is undeserved, I just want you to know that everybody on staff here and almost everybody else in the NCAA basketball pool has banded together in their own prayer team to pray against me. And so my persecution complex is really high. So if you guys could all just send a little love my way, it'd really work out well. So that my one feeling doesn't get hurt. So, amen. All right. Well, we've asked Sean to come in. And what I've asked him to do today is to give us a little bit of an update in this morning thing here, and to let it all hang out and just preach what God has said to him in the main service. So anyway, come on up, Sean. And he's really become a techno-savvy guy and preaching from his iPad. So praise the Lord. Let's pray. And your Bible. You know, wouldn't you think iPads would be cool if you could dual screen them so you could have your Bible right there?
I bet you can. I just don't know how.
No, I don't think you can yet. So, sorry, I've tried. Too bad. Let's pray for Sean. Father, thank you today for this time. We just bless you, Lord, and we are so grateful, Father, for all that you do in and through Sean and through the ministry of Groundwire, Father. And we thank you for allowing us the absolute pleasure to be in support with them and to share in the fruit, Father God, that is created. And Father, it's fruit that remains, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I feel bad. Every time I come, I try and convince myself to be nice to Pastor Glenn. And I get up here and something just happens. There is an anointing on this pulpit for sarcasm and for ribbing individuals that are sitting in front of you. And so he actually mentioned three or four times yesterday when we were together that last time I was here, he was not. And he has listened to that tape and that message multiple times just to hear the scars that the things that I was throwing out. So we really do need to pray for him because he is easily offended. And but I will tell you, realistically, Jeremy in the pool for March Madness, he did actually contact me and he said, you need to be ahead of Pastor Glenn on Sunday just so you can harass him from the pulpit because we never get the chance. So I don't know if I'm going to try and be really good and just talk about the things that the Lord wants me to talk about instead of the things that Jeremy wants me to talk about. Anyway, thanks. I just want to start by reading a scripture. I want to thank those of you especially that pray for us. And it is so exciting. My wife is here, by the way. I don't know if you... she is... My kids are here too, but she is absolutely my favorite traveling companion. And I love it when she can come with me, even if it's just for a quick time. We got to go ride horses yesterday, although the horse that I was riding didn't like me so much. I think he thought I was too heavy. He tried to rub me against the fence. I was the only one that he did that to, so was a little hurt by that. But anyway, I just want to start by reading a scripture and just thank those of you, especially that pray for us. And then I do want to share with you some exciting things that are going on. I know that in your church that you're convinced that God is still doing some amazing things. And I just want you to know, I'm blown away on a daily basis about the things that God is doing. And just going to get to brag on what the Lord is doing a little bit, because even in the last, it's been about 12 or 13 months since I've been here and I've been able to give you an update. And even the things that have happened in the last 12 or 13 months, I could not have set them up for you. I could not have said for you 13 months ago, here's what we hope to accomplish in the next 12 or 13 months, because God has just been, you know, he's done the Ephesians 3:20 thing on us immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And again, that is just a scripture that I've asked people to pray for us for a long time. Pray that we would fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And it's been incredibly fun. Let me just share with you a couple thoughts that have really been resonating with us as people and as a ministry and as a couple. The first thing that that the Lord really began to speak to me about, and I want to challenge you with this, is the Lord really convicted me that it is impossible to be both self-protecting and kingdom advancing. It is impossible to be both worried about your reputation and your own bubble and to be kingdom advancing. You choose one or the other. Amen? You will either say, God, I want your name to be known. I want your will to be done. Or God, here's my request for my comfort and my convenience. You will choose one or the other with your life and with the season that you're in your life. And just absolutely, our heart's cry has been, Lord, we want to be kingdom advancing. Another thing that really the Lord has really impressed on my heart in the last year is I want to make it hard, with the Lord's help. I'm not taking credit for anything. I want to make it hard for anybody to go an entire day without hearing about the God in heaven who loves them. I want to make it hard, not just for those who say, you know what, I want to align my life with God's word. I want to align my life with God's plan. But I want to make it hard for anybody to go an entire day without hearing about the God in heaven who loves them. How different would the world be if that was the case? How different would the world be if every person in Denver, Colorado, if they heard about the God in heaven who loved them every day, whether or not they chose to do it, whether or not they said, you know, I want to walk into a church on Sunday morning, but on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, they heard just a quick message about the God in heaven who loved them. Do you think that that would change our culture in any way? Do you think that there would be people that as the Holy Spirit began to deal with those things, that they would begin to get excited and God would begin to deal with some of the things going on in their life? Really, that's to summarize what we're doing and what God has called us to do and given us opportunity to do. That's exactly what we want to do. We want to find groups of people, crowds of people that are gathering, not because they are spiritual seekers, but just because they've chosen to gather for whatever reason it is, to be entertained, to come together just for anything at all. And we want to just drop in to those environments and share Christ with them. You know, the analogy I had, I was doing a radio interview in San Diego, California, and it was right after the Super Bowl. And the thought that came into my mind was this. How, did anybody watch the Super Bowl? Okay. Did anybody just stay for the halftime show? When Black Eyed Peas, Usher, yeah, you do that. How cool would it have been? What would you have given? What would it have been worth to you if you could have, as the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers are separating for half, and as they're rearranging the field specifically to have a show, not for a church service on a Sunday afternoon, but for a show for entertainment's sake, how cool would it have been if we could have had 30 seconds before Black Eyed Peas came out and dropped their Boom Boom Pow? How cool would it have been if right before they took the stage, we could have had 30 seconds to just grab the microphone and say, listen, there's 100,000 people in this room right now. And we know that you're here not to hear what I have to say, but you're here to watch what happens after me. But I just want to take just 30 seconds and say, you know what? I know some of you are going through a tough time. You have questions that haven't been answered. Some of you are struggling with life. I want you to know God cares and He's thinking about you right now. You are not alone. God is right there for you. And I just want you to remember that. Not only that, but over here in this section of the stadium, we have some people gathered in a room. And if at any time over the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 months, if you just have a question or you want to talk to somebody, why don't you just make your way over, come back at any given time, because 24 hours a day, there's going to be somebody there just to talk to you. Okay, we're going to let you get on with what you're here for, but we're just going to drop that thought. How cool would that have been? 100,000 people. That's exactly what God's given us the opportunity to do, is to broadcast in that kind of environment and also give them an opportunity really to walk into a room online, to walk into a place where there are people there ready to share Christ with them. Most of you know what we do, that we broadcast on TV and on radio. We share Christ in very interesting and relevant ways with people all over the world that are gathered specifically for entertainment. They have not gathered because they say, hey, I want to go watch Joel Osteen on Sunday morning. They haven't said, I'm going to give 30 minutes for a spiritual voice. They're just gathering because they want to be entertained, and then we can sneak in with the gospel. And over the last year, I already said that it's been pretty amazing. We just topped, get this, these numbers are going to seem unrealistic to you. You might question my sanity, because I do every once in a while. We just topped 28 million people a week see or hear our commercials. Because when I was a youth pastor, I used to think, how can we get the next 30 in the room? With media, and you're in big markets, you flip on a switch, and you're not adding 30. You're adding 2.1 million, 1.3 million that will hear those commercials. I get excited about that. Because as an evangelist, man, give me the crowd. Give me the 100,000. I want to take Christ directly to them. We just top 28 million people a week. When I was here 13 months ago, I would have stood here and said, one of these days, we're going to figure out how to invade top 10 markets. We haven't figured it out yet. We have not figured out how to go after the large markets because it's a little intimidating. I mean, I can go to South Bend, Indiana, and I can reach 85,000 kids a week on the number one radio station. 85,000 kids a week for $138. That's pretty amazing value. But you go to L.A., and again, the number on the number three radio station is 2.1 million, and there's a bigger expense there. So we were intimidated by that. We didn't know how to do it. Well, the Lord opened up the door, and in April, we started to open top 10 markets. And in the last 11 months, we have opened 6 of the top 10 markets. It's been pretty amazing. We've opened L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, Houston, Dallas, and Atlanta, along with some of the other smaller markets like San Diego, and we continue to add in Phoenix. And to me, it's just been an amazing thing. Now, we have seen some kickback, as you can imagine. San Francisco watched our TV commercials, and they said, your commercials are inappropriate for our audience, which is amazing to me. You know, these are commercials that are being played on TV stations that are just incredibly vile and sad and hopeless. And they'll take credit for everything else, but they broke a contract with us because they said your commercials are inappropriate for our audience. But that's okay. We're used to conflict. We're used to criticism. We're good with that because God is since opening some doors. But it's again, just been a pretty fun thing. I don't know how much you follow youth culture, but there's a new show out there right now on MTV called Skins. Has anybody heard about it? Skins is very controversial right now. As a matter of fact, about a month and a half ago, I was reading the USA Today when I was in an airport. And MTV, the people running the show at MTV called a closed-door meeting because they're nervous that this new show, Skins, is going to get them sued for child pornography. They're pushing even more boundaries than they've ever pushed in the past. And let me tell you, that's where we need to be. And that is where our commercials are playing. And so I want to show you one of our commercials that actually we created just for Jersey Shore. And this is the commercial that's being played on Skins. Kind of a fun commercial. Glenn, I might not pick on you today.
Ever get tired of pretending that life is perfect? If what they see isn't how you feel, God knows and He understands. Chat now with someone who cares at groundwire.net.
So that's one of the commercials that we're playing on these stations, on these shows that are just consuming the values of our culture. And as Christians, we've sat there for years and we've said, we don't like what MTV's spouting. We don't like what the culture's saying. But instead of just complaining about it, we're actually able to take the initiative and go after it. And I find that pretty exciting. So it doesn't matter if you do. Okay. We're getting some great traction. I'm going to have Mary come up in just a second and talk a little bit more about the coaching. But we've had some great traction. People are coming to us and they're saying, man, this is exciting to me. Because they are saying, you know, I've had people say, I know how to do evangelism in India. Mass evangelism works there. They're saying, I know how to take care of orphans in Africa. I know how to take care of the homeless in Los Angeles. But they're saying, I don't know how to reach my kids and my grandkids. And I don't know how to do something about the culture that I'm so concerned about. And that's actually what we're able to do when we're able to go after 28 million people every week. Most outreach ministries are set up to get people in one room for one day to hear one message. And what we're talking about is routinely, repetitiously, every day, making them consider the God in heaven who loves them and has a plan for their life. And then offering that conversation. It's getting so much traction that I have people coming up to me. There's a guy in Los Angeles. I mentioned the number three radio station there. He came up to me, and the way that came about was a 32-year-old guy running a business that's growing. He came to me and he said, Sean, he said, how much would it be to be on that station, Star 98.7, Alternative Rock? He said, I grew up listening to that station. So we did the research and he got back to me and he said, you know, he said, I would love to know that I'm responsible for sharing Christ with everyone who listens to that station. He said, my business is going to pay for that. And so those are some of the fun things that are happening. Mary, why don't you come on up? So we have the broadcasting piece. We have the coaching thing. And this is my lovely wife. And she doesn't get to come with me all the time because she's at home with the kids. But we convinced them that coming and riding horses was fun. And, you know, I tried to get Glenn to actually be the horsey for my boys. They're still at the age where they could jump on his back. But now that he's lost weight, he's fragile. So he wasn't willing to play with them that way. But anyway, Mary is very involved with the coaching aspect. Here's one of the cool things that we're able to do. Since we were here last time, we've finally been able to turn the corner, and we are now offering 24 hours a day the coaching line. 24 hours a day, you come online, and you're instantly connected with somebody somewhere in the world who's there to listen to you, and it's the only tool like it in the world. It's the only one like it that's achieved the 24-hour day piece. So it's a pretty exciting thing, but I'm going to let Mary share some of the stories and some of the things that are going on there.
Yeah, I don't plan on being up here long. This is not my area of expertise, for sure. I much prefer to be behind the scenes, which is one of the reasons I've gravitated towards helping with the coaching line. Because I feel very comfortable being behind a computer screen and not having people see who I am. And I don't know. He's much better with the microphone. But I'm pretty good with typing. And I also have a heart for the youth as well. But I much prefer the one-on-one interaction. And I just want to encourage you. I know that we've had a lot of support from this church financially, and also giving us some nice beef for our freezer and many, many things that we're so thankful for. But I want to encourage you that if you I think one of the things that's particularly wonderful about your community and your church is that you are grounded in God's word and just closer to God out here, you know, not being so insulated in an office cubicle like some of us in the city are. And I think you just have a better sense of heritage and roots. And so many kids in the world today just don't have the roots that you people do out here. And so it would be amazing if some of you would consider partnering with us as coaches. And we have ways of teaching you if that's intimidating. But basically, all you need is an internet connection and a heart for kids. And perhaps you will enjoy the being anonymous like I do behind a computer screen. You know, maybe if you went to downtown Denver and saw some kids with tattoos and their pants hanging down and gauges in their ears, you may not feel comfortable going up to somebody like that and saying, you know, you look like you might be struggling a little bit. Here's a belt. But but because Sean has gone and done the hard work of getting their interest into spiritual things and maybe realizing that their lives are empty, they're actually coming to us for help. And you get to just, they're asking the questions, the hard questions, and true, you may be dealing with some things that you may not be totally comfortable with. The Lord is good, and it's so exciting to have the Holy Spirit work through you and your fingers as your heart just breaks for these kids and what they're going through, and sometimes even adults who have never figured out the way of you know, they've just been floating through life and have never matured spiritually or even just emotionally. So we get all kinds of interesting people online. This last week I had an encounter with a person who I realized had more than one personality and had been diagnosed as a multiple personality disorder. And that was unusual. Because I'm like, so do I lead you all to Christ? Do I pray for you individually? Yes, that's a bit unusual. But I've had a story where a girl named Katie was trying to escape the lifestyle of the Amish and was trying to navigate what it meant to be like on the internet and how to go into English society. And so we've had so many unusual stories, girls that are just trying to figure out the boy thing. Sometimes it's more serious because they are cutting themselves because they don't know how to release the pain inside of their hearts. And so, like I said, there's a lot of issues that you may not feel comfortable dealing with, but if you will open up your hearts and let the love of Christ flow through you beyond your fear of dealing with the unknown, it's really an exciting way of getting outside of your area of comfort and just being used of the Lord, and I've enjoyed that immensely. So think about that, and we have a great program to train you if that's something that you'd like to do. And again, the great thing is that it is anonymous, and so maybe you're a grandfather and you don't feel comfortable interacting with tattooed children, but because they can't see you and you can't see them, you can share the wisdom and they're more likely to accept it because they can feel your heart through the words. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say.
Out here, it might not just be the tattoo. They might not know what to do with city people.
Maybe not.
Yeah. We're odd. We are. So.
We're not exactly city.
Thanks, babe. Hey, two things I would like to say about it real quick is, it's like the way that I present it is it's like street witnessing. The difference is that they come up to you. They tap you on the shoulder. They start the conversation. And to me, that's pretty exciting. I mean, because I think all of us would be very open to having conversations about Christ if we knew how to get where we wanted to go. They come to you and say, hey, here's something that's going on. And here's something else that I would say to you and to all of us is that we say that God speaks to us. True? That we can have wisdom from God according to James, that we can speak the very words of God according to 1 Peter, that we can have the mind of Christ. But yet so many of us never put ourselves in a position where we have to rely on Christ to speak to us. We're intimidated by the unknown, and so we want to operate in the things that we're comfortable with in our experiences. But this gives you an opportunity to step out there and say, God, somebody's going to come online. I'm not going to know what to do, but God, you need to touch their life. Would you use me? And if you are already active, let me challenge you for a second here. If you're already active and you're serving in many capacities in the body of Christ and in your local church and all those things, great. But if you're sitting there and you're saying, I'm trying to find my place, how can I have an impact? This is a great opportunity for you. Just consider it. We won't twist your arm or anything like that. But the coaching piece, I think about just the last chat that I read this last week. They sent them to me whenever I'm on a plane, and I was reading through one of the chats, and the guy came online, and here's what he said. He said, when will I find my soulmate? He'd had a girlfriend break up with him. He was in his early 20s, and he said, when am I going to find her? It's so hard to wait. And as he began to talk to the coach began to hear things like, I keep pursuing them and they keep pulling away and I don't know what to do. And the coach just saw a segue opportunity where the coach jumped in and said, you know, there's another relationship in your life that you're ignoring and this one is pursuing you. God is pursuing you because he wants a relationship. Well, I don't know if I believe in your God. Well, let me just explain to you what everything that God thinks about you and God, what God loves. And the guy came looking for a soulmate, ended up leaving, meeting his Savior. And those are the exciting things. So the coaching piece it's been growing ridiculously. Last year, we averaged 52,000 visits a month. 52,000 unique visitors a month. Okay. Last month, we had 149,000. I mean, it's growing like this. This month, we're on track to break. If numbers continue, we'll break 200,000 visits for the first time this month. And so we need more coaches. We absolutely need people that are saying, you know, I can give you a couple hours a week. I can be trained, and in the comfort and convenience of my own home, I can sit there and I can be there for people as they reach out to me. One other thing that we're working on right now too is a discipleship tool called 21. A lot of these young people, here's the way it works. They come to us. We're kind of a bridge. They hear the gospel and they get to a place where they start to consider Christianity. We're able to connect them to Christ, and then we want to connect them to a local church. The problem that we've had is realizing we don't know what cycle of teaching that church is going to be in. It might be a year before somebody sits down with a new believer and says, you need to read the book. And so what we've done is we're in the what we're doing, we've developed, we looked for a year to find another tool. We wanted to find a discipleship tool that was delivered appropriately for young people. We couldn't find anything that was, it was either 45 minutes long every day, which young people won't spend 45 minutes a day, or it was like other programs wanted to monetize it at $19.95. Our demographic isn't going to spend $20 to be discipled. So we had to create something. So that's what we've done is we've created something called 21, and here's the cool thing about it. Once they get online for it, it'll be delivered to their cell phone every day for 21 days in a row. It'll be delivered to their cell phone. It's two to three minute videos. But I want you to see one. This is, you're the first group that's ever seen this. We just got this back this week. This is one of the 21 day things. And what I want you to see is we had to go out of our way to create something that was kind of engaging and that was fun to watch. Otherwise, we might lose their attention. So it's kind of a fun thing. We actually worked in a little MC Hammer into this one. So some different things. But why don't you go ahead and watch this if Jeremy can get it to work.
Have you ever responded to someone in a way that you wish you wouldn't have? For me, it's a struggle every single day to respond to my wife, children, and coworkers in the right way. Maybe you can relate with how you find yourself responding to your parents, friends, or teachers. But what about God? How should we respond to Him? Now that might sound like a strange question because chances are God has never asked you to clean your room, do your homework, or gossip behind your back.
Did you hear about Susan?
But the reality is, whether we know it or not, we respond to God every single day. We respond through the thoughts we think, the words we use, and the choices that we make. Ultimately, the way I live my life either says to God, you are the center or you are secondary. When we live in such a way that God is first and foremost, that response is called worship. Now, you may have heard of worship music, or you may have thought that worship was something that you did at church before the pastor taught. But worship is much bigger than those things. Ultimately, worship is not just music, a certain musical style, or personal preference. At its very core, worship is a response. Worship is my all-of-life response to who God is and what He does. Let's break that down a little bit. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You see, whether I'm going to school or my job, whether I'm playing sports or alone on my computer, God views how I handle myself in those situations as part of my response, my worship to Him. The second part of this worship equation is my response to who God is and what He has done. My response to God isn't based on what I've done, my accomplishments or good works, because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Instead, my worship is based on who God is and what He has done. I respond in gratitude and amazement based on His character, His work on the cross, and how He has changed my life through His love and grace. So every day, worship God. Respond through all of your life because of who He is and what He has done.
So, what'd you think? I was sitting there watching it and I was thinking, boy, that's distracting. I'm watching everything that's going on. I'm not listening to His words. But I have ADD. Hopefully you don't. But anyway, I'm really excited about it. Our goal is to have 250,000 people go through that in the first 12 months that it's out. And to really take them, it's not a theological tool. What it is it's a relationship tutorial. How do I get to know God? How do I respond to God? How do I submit my will to God's will? How do I learn to really pursue Him? And so we're pretty excited about where that's going. So those are some of the highlights of what's going on. Let me give you just some of the things that we're working on the next few months. And again, I truly request your prayers, because God is, I just got to tell you again, I want to make it hard for anybody to go an entire day without hearing about the God in heaven who loves them. I mean, I think that the tools are there to make that happen. You know, if so many of us can become familiar with different slogans and different pitches because of what media can cram down our throats, no offense, this might sound harsh, why can't we cram Jesus' love down their throats? You know, in a way, I know that Mary's going, oh, that sounded really bad. But, you know, why can't we make it impossible for them not to consider God every day? Knowing that faith comes by hearing. And knowing that every time we throw it out, His word won't return void. That God's going to do something with that. Every time we get it out there, God's going to allow His word to begin to sink into their hearts, and the Holy Spirit's going to begin to stir. Let me tell you about some of the goals, and these are so you can be praying with us. I mentioned that we're at 28 million people a week see or hear our commercials. That's pretty exciting to me, but I believe in the next 2 to 3 years that we'll top 75 million. And again, you might look at me and think, that's crazy. It's not crazy. The opportunities are there. And so that's really what we're going to do. We're looking to complete 21. And so, which is the program that you just looked at, we have 14 of them recorded, and then as you can imagine, the production is not, it's not taking 2 or 3 minutes to do the production. It's taking a week for each one. So, we're gonna get that ready, and hopefully we'll have that ready to release in the next 4 months. Be praying for us in May. Myself and one of my coworkers is going to India in May. And the reason is because we need to hire. We need to launch an office in India in May. Reason being is our greatest growth with our chat line is in the middle of the night. And as I've said probably here many times, I can't find enough volunteers to get up at 3 a.m. So what we're doing is we're going to the hemisphere that mirrors our time zones. And so our overnight coverage is primarily covered by people in India, Korea, and Australia. We need more, though, and we can't recruit and train as quickly as we need to from here for there. So what we're looking to do is hire somebody down there, and that is it's going to be a great step of faith for us. But it's absolutely necessary for us to keep up. We have a couple people that are rotating, getting up at 3 a.m. to make sure that we have adequate coverage. And as you can imagine, that's not the best way to run that. So we're going down there to do that. So in May, that's a very big thing. We're looking to regionalize our advancement positions. Again, great opportunities on the West Coast, great opportunities for growth in the East Coast, great opportunities in the Midwest. And it's all about nurturing those markets and nurturing those relationships. And we need to hire somebody to get there. And then lastly, we're going to launch in Spanish. Hopefully we're going to hire somebody to begin the process, hopefully in July, to really begin to go after Spanish. We were hoping to do that last year, but our board said, let's slow down and stabilize. And let's set that as a goal for the second half of 2011. So those are some of the things that are going on. I could talk forever, as you can imagine. Some of you just smiled like, oh, I really hope he doesn't. But anyway, what I thought I'd do is we have about 5 or 10 minutes here. And I thought I share what I find interesting about this and about what I see. But I'd love to answer any questions. If anybody has any questions about how we do certain things or where we're going, I'd love to try and answer those. Or we could extend the potty break. We're looking to hire somebody to recruit and train volunteer coaches. In India, yes. Yeah. So we have pockets right now in those three countries, but we probably need to add 100 to 150 new coaches in the next 2 to 3 years down in that hemisphere. So hiring somebody who's, I'm sorry? Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are some strong churches down there. I mean, we're speaking in some churches that are well over 20,000. I mean, there are many, many very, very significant churches size-wise in those countries. And so I've never been, so I don't know the cultural climate, but our coaches that we're connecting with in India and in these places, they have a great heart for the Lord, and they're very focused on evangelism. Yes, Jeremy. Yeah, Australia has been a challenge for us. Because we thought that Australia makes sense because culturally we're so similar, but we just haven't found traction. And I have some theories on that. I won't go into them, but we feel like the Lord, we still have 10, 12 coaches down in Australia. But India, there seems to be more momentum. They just seem to get what we do, and they want to partner with us. And please don't sit there and think, oh, you're going to outsource it? Are you kidding me? But because it's all online, it's not a language barrier. It's not a dialect barrier. It's because it's all online, you can't even tell who you're talking to. So, but Australia, it just, we felt like the Lord kind of closed the door there. I kept trying to push it open, and the Lord kind of closed the door. And then within a matter of about probably 2 to 3 weeks, we had 4 or 5 strong connections jump up in Australia, in India, that really wanted to help us go in that direction. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. When you're at capacity, you can go unavailable so nobody else will ring through. So there is that. We did change softwares probably since you were coaching, and so that is something that we have the ability to do now. So you can still be talking to that one or those two people, and you can go unavailable. So you know, if somebody else is ringing on, it won't go to you; it'll go to another coach. So. Can I ask any other questions real quick? Otherwise, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. This is not about your church. It's not about your area. Can I ask, I've been wrestling with this. What do you think the churches, the body of Christ in the U.S., what do you think our attitude is towards evangelism? Why? Where's that coming from? I definitely think that that's something that we need to be praying for as the body of Christ. Because the devil, I totally agree with the statements that have been made. I think that the devil has definitely removed an urgency. And in effect, he's removed us from that part of God's heart. Where we can't deny what Scripture says, go into all the world. I want all men to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. I'm going to make this statement as I'm sharing in the service, but in Matthew 9, 35 to 38, it says that when Jesus was walking, he looked at people, they were harassed, and I was like sheep without a shepherd. And they were, and then Jesus said, you know, pray the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers, because the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And the statement I'm going to make today is, it is very possible that our culture is more willing to consider Christ than we are willing to share him. And to me, that is incredibly, that just makes me sad. And I think that it grieves God's heart. And I know you might look and say, well, of course you're going to say that. You're an evangelist. I'm telling you, every one of us is called to evangelize, to share Christ, however we have the opportunity to do it. We are called to be part of God's hands and his feet. Whether that means focusing in on someone and really loving them with the kindness of Christ until God opens. But our heart has to be, God, give me opportunity. Because God, they need you. You know, Billy Graham said in January of this year, he said something along the lines of, he said, you know, the greatest issue of our day is not political, and it's not poverty, it's not wealth distribution. He said it's nothing other than the fact that these people need Jesus. It's the greatest need, but yet we focus on these other things. And I really believe that we need an awakening in our country towards the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God inside of us, so that we become excited again about what God has done for us. And in that, you know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let me just tell you, when God is stirring in our hearts, we don't have to force ourselves to speak. It just comes out naturally. Now, I do believe that we need teaching and training on how to do it tactfully, because unfortunately, sometimes the people who are most vocal for Jesus are also the ones who tend to run people away because they don't share him the right way or with the right motives. So anyway, just some things I'm dealing with. Pastor Glenn, thanks. And what do you want me to do here? I don't know either. Okay.
Let me quickly say that the one thing I hope you heard Sean say is that no one else is doing what he's doing. We don't, as a church, take it lightly when we support a ministry. Our friends in Fiji We don't know anybody else who's doing what they're doing. I don't know anybody else on the Amazon like our friends in Brazil that are doing what they're doing. And I don't know anybody else but Sean who's doing what he's doing. You have an opportunity. We're not going to take up an offering right now, but I'm going to give you a good plug. Okay? You have an opportunity to join with what no one else is doing in my knowledge. The thing that makes this work for us is that you and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the blue-haired, tattooed, nose rings folks make many of us uncomfortable. Our church, as much as we'd like to be, is probably not going to openly embrace those people who need Christ the worst. And I didn't answer, but I'm going to answer his question. What about evangelism? The heart of the American church, the heart of the American evangelical church, is a place of criticism. We look at people based on what they look like. And we want to clean them up first so they'll look more like us. Then they can be accepted in the beloved. So we need people that are doing what Sean is doing. So...
This has been a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. This material is offered with no copyright, so feel free to share it with others. For more information about New Life, please visit our website at newlifeeckley.com. Our phone number is 970-359-2424, or you can write Post Office Box 157, Eckley, Colorado 80727. And we're located 2 miles west of Eckley, Colorado on Highway 34, and our main service begins at 10 a.m. on Sundays.